Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for November 19th, 2007, episode 50. Welcome back, everyone, to the Angry Admins Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ryan Necessary.
And I'm that other guy, Joe Bibby.
We're back from a week off, and this week we're going to talk about some new tech that came out, hit the newswire today. Yes. And I think Joe's going to lead us through the jungle of information on the Amazon Kindle ebook reader.
Yes, I am.
So let's dive into that. What do you think?
So this was just announced today. There's been rumors of it on Engadget and the other rumor blogs for a while now, I guess, but it kind of zipped past my radar. So this is really the first I've seen of it, so I've been kind of soaking up the news, trying to figure out what's going on. Just to give you a quick overview of the device without diving down too deep, it is an ebook reader. It's a little different than the Sony ebook reader in that it has a built-in EVDO modem using Sprint service. And you don't pay for the service, you just pay for the books, and it downloads them directly to it. So you lose some features because it appears you're not able to easily just transfer your own information for free like you can on the ebook reader. Mm-hmm. Has a full keyboard on it because you can get to the web actually through it and certain blogs. And it's not a full web browsing from what I understand because it's an e-ink display, so it's not color, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's kind of a general overview. It has some other features. We'll get into that later. But if you haven't read about it, go ahead and pull it up while we're talking about it so you can kind of see what we're talking about.
But this is in line with the existing ebook readers that are out there, like from Sony. This is it's a handheld thing with a screen, and you download books to it.
Sure.
And, you know, yeah.
The idea is it uses the e-ink technology, which most of you probably know about, but it's basically a passive screen that uses a reaction with chemicals to line up the text. So it's a really high DPI screen that is easy on the eyes and you can look at for hours without getting eye strain, basically. It's like looking at paper almost.
Mm.
So
that's cool.
Very cool device. So why should you care about this? Well, it's from Amazon, so you've got their whole store kind of behind it. Not every book is available, but there's something like 88,000 books available already.
Yeah, that's quite a few.
So, the device itself is a little more than the Sony ebook reader. It's $399, which is a bit steep for me. I don't think I would be willing to pay that, but a lot of people said that about the iPod when it first came out, and it ended up being very successful. So,
and the iPhone.
And the iPhone, and the eye, fill in the blank.
Right.
But this has some features that really sets it apart. And most of that is circles around the EVDO modem. Because you can actually get to an Amazon store on the device and buy the latest books coming out, and you'll pay generally $9.99 for a work of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like a Linux manual, we discovered that you'll still get a big discount, but it'll be one we looked at was a Linux programming book that was $36 list. $23 on the Kindle. So big chunk off there. You can probably get close to that buying the print edition online somewhere, but this is on demand,
right?
So you're sitting in front of a server, you don't have a clue what you're doing, and for some reason there's not a computer around even though you're in front of a server. You could buy a book real quick, have it download instantly, and start being able to read it. It's not really the target, but that's kind of a way I would see it being useful.
Yeah.
So you've seen this thing, right?
Yes.
You've seen some photos. What do you think of it? Just kind of the look of it for now.
Well, the original pictures I saw made it look kind of thick and clunky.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch like their demo video, it kind of brings it back to reality. You get a sense of scale. And it's actually not as big as I thought. It's not as thick as I thought. To me, it looks good. I don't know what it weighs. I'm sure the specs are there.
I think it was like 10 ounces.
Yeah.
Pretty light.
It looked pretty readable. I liked all the buttons and the features. Mm-hmm.
So this is very different from, like, the Sony reader has very few buttons.
Right.
It's really just meant to be a device you read with. It has page forward, page back. You can do a few other things with it. Whereas this device is really centered around the store. So you've got the keyboard. It looks like, and there's a big article in Newsweek, an interview with Jeff Bezos from Amazon about what they were kind of going for with this device.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how they kind of shaped it a little bit like you would see a paperback novel where it kind of bulges on the edges and like it's been well read. I mean, it's, you look at the device and you think about a paper, I don't think about a paper book, but
yeah,
you kind of appreciate that he really, they put some thought into it.
Yeah. It looks cool. It looks, I saw a drop test and it didn't fall apart, although I don't know how well the screen held up. But I do see, with the modem especially, I could see like business travelers or people stuck in an airport for a long weekend, like many people will be this weekend for traveling, mm-hmm. and just be sitting there like, I'm so bored, I have nothing to do. And the guy next to you has this, and he's just, bam, $10. He's got a whole new book.
Oh, yeah.
And also to be able not just to buy a book, but able to look at the Amazon customer reviews for the books before you buy it, and even be able to download like a preview, like the first chapter or the first 10 pages.
Yeah, like you can on the Amazon website. You can read the first few pages.
Right. So to me, that's really good.
Yeah.
What do you think about the about how much it holds? So it was. So I think the books were coming in around 800K or like a meg or something like that.
Right.
It was like.
So the overview says it can hold over 200 titles.
Right. So that's.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. It's going to take you a long time to fill it up, and then
there's an SD card add-on slot,
so you can expand.
Yeah. And I'm wondering. So they don't really talk about putting your own items on it very much.
Yeah. See, this was
that's the confusing part.
This was my thing. For me, like, sure, I want to read fiction, I want to read nonfiction and stuff on it, but if I was able to, like, take all my Linux notes and mm-hmm. email it
things
to
things that
it,
you've typed up.
Right. Things that I want to have at hand all the time.
Right.
And just have it on there, configuration notes for a server, or just, you know, just what, you know, obscured Linux commands, or just whatever. That would be something I would want to be able to put in there,
mm-hmm.
even at a degraded ability,
right,
even if it didn't look as good or whatever. But I don't know that there's a way to do that.
Well, from reading over, you know, the articles and things that have come out about it, it appears that the only way to get device items on your device is by purchasing it from the Amazon store, or you can email it to this special email address, and then it gets converted to this Kindle format, which is some sort of HTML format,
mm-hmm.
but they charge you.
Hmm.
And it's some, they call it a small fee.
Yeah.
So it's unknown what that's going to be. You can tell they aren't really targeting this as a general use thing. Whereas like the Sony Reader, USB cable or throw a memory card in it and you can play whatever. Now it may not look good, but it'll pull it up.
And it has a full keyboard on the bottom, like a QWERTY keyboard.
Right.
So I wonder if I can type in my own stuff.
Mm-mm.
To me, they just kind of missed it there.
Yeah. You know, and I wonder if it's a, because the keyboard, it's a full keyboard, but it's kind of a thumb keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of angled a little bit for thumb use. And I'm wondering if they're thinking, you know, let's just get this thing out and get it working well in its core features, and then maybe they'll add it later.
Right.
And it does have web access, somewhat limited. It's unclear whether you can go to whatever URL you want.
Mm-hmm.
It does talk about being able to follow links in blogs.
Hmm.
Well, and we'll talk about the blogs feature in a minute, but.
Right.
It would make sense that you would at least maybe have a web app like the iPhone has to do where mm-hmm. you could type something in, but
who knows?
They dropped the ball, I think. I agree with you on that.
Right. That just seems to me like something that would be so useful.
Right.
You know, if I want to put recipes in it, if I want to put, you know, phone numbers in it, or, you know, just why really lock me down to mm-hmm. just books? And in the face of all the feature bloat that's out there with cell phones and computers mm-hmm. and stuff right now, I do respect the idea of, look, it's an ebook reader, it reads books, get over it. This is what it does.
Yeah.
It does it well, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get that. But, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I want a little bit of a feature.
Well, and if you read the article on Newsweek, you get a feel more of what Jeff was going for at Amazon, that he really talks about trying to make this device not just another device that gets in the way, but really replacing the book. And we can talk about that a little bit. You know, I think it's interesting. His goal was to make it transparent, to make it so that you can get lost in this device, like you can get lost in a good paperback novel or in, you know, a hardback or whatever, whatever your favorite kind of book is. Get it on here, start reading it, forget what you're using to read, whether it's an actual book or this ebook reader, and just enjoy it.
Right.
So I think he was trying to avoid having it doing too many things so that you can easily get distracted. Like you can, like if I try to read on a laptop, for one, I get strained because of the display. But I'll read three or four paragraphs and like I'll get an email. Oh, well, let me go look at that real quick. And then I'll follow a link in the email. And then an hour later, I've forgotten that I was even reading anything.
Right. Well, you know, to me, what this seems like is kind of like the Amazon answer to Apple's iPod. So the iPod is the thing that makes you want to suck music for sale off of the Apple iTunes store. Right. So this is the hardware thing that Jeff Bezos wants to sell you to influence you to suck content off of his Amazon.com storefront. And I think he will probably be successful at that.
Well, and here's the brilliant thing about all of this. If it works out, you could buy this for grandma and she would be able to use it. Training, you don't need a laptop, you don't need a computer,
right? And the tech scales up, right? You can't see very
exactly. Well, exactly. So it's completely self-contained. I mean, it's even more self-contained than an iPod because you don't need an iTunes store. It's the store is on the device,
right? And that's that whole thing with Amazon. I mean, you're looking at how many times have I gone to Amazon and kind of found what I wanted and thought, oh yeah, that'd be cool, but it's like add to cart, checkout, shipping. Now I'm gonna have to wait 2 days, and in right. 2 days, well, I'm gonna, you know, that's just this huge barrier. The whole shipping, a right. physical thing barrier, and for him to like take that away right. and say it's right there, I should just press this button, and then 1 second later you're gonna be reading it.
I think it's smart.
It's smart.
I think it's really smart, and the fact that they've built in this EVDO, and there's no subscription fee for that. It's built into the kind of the cost of the device and the cost of the book.
Yeah, it's like buying a cell phone.
Yeah. But with a cell phone, you still have a plan.
Yeah.
You're paying a monthly fee. With this, you just buy the device, and if you don't buy any books, then you're dumb, but you're not paying anything more.
Right.
So if you don't use it, it's not like you have this subscription fee going in the background.
Right.
Except for if you subscribe to blogs or newspapers. But they give you some advantages to that. So there's certain blogs and things like the Wall Street Journal, or I don't remember the other papers, but that was the one I remember. You pay a fee, and it automatically puts it on your device. So magazines too. So you can get, you could actually get, say, the next edition of Wired. I don't know if that's in there, but for example, Wired magazine. You could get that, and you would actually get it before anybody would get it in print because it's finished. They're printing it, and they send it out over your ebook reader.
And it requires no intervention.
Right.
So I just pick it up on
and
the bus.
And it's there at some day.
And it's just waiting for you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to tell it, don't check for new right. episodes or anything like that.
So you can do that with newspapers, blogs, but there's a fee.
Right.
So that's when you start getting a new subscription model. But it's a reoccurring event, so it kind of makes sense.
So no color on the screen, though.
No color.
Because it's e-ink or whatever.
Right, which there are color e-ink displays, but I think they're currently at about $5,000. So not much chance of that. But
yeah, but I mean, it's kind of a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you want to reinvent the book, I mean, that's kind of tough to replace.
And the nice thing about these e-book readers is that the battery lives are just crazy. I mean, it's literally like, you know, leave it on for forever. And now, this one may last a little bit shorter time than, like, the Sony version since it has that wireless in it. Let's see if I can find wireless specs. So this is saying maybe every other day you'll have to recharge it.
But that's probably if you use it all day.
Right, and that's if you leave the wireless on all the time.
Hmm.
So if you're just you just have a book you want to read and you don't turn on the wireless, it'll last even longer.
Yeah, because the standard book is going to be so small when you're talking about text that
right.
it's going to zip down.
Right.
It's going to be instant for all practical purposes. I did like the fact that it always saves your place.
Yes.
You can bookmark pages.
Mm-hmm. Searchable is nice too.
Yeah, it's you can search
if
everything
you're doing research
on it.
Or something. You can and the Sony version does not do that. So that's
and,
nice.
And the dictionary thing is built in.
Right. Yeah, so, built-in dictionary and access to Wikipedia, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is nice. I wonder if that's a subscription thing. Probably not.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's part of the EVDO service.
See, so that would be almost worth it just for that, for the wiki.
Really? Yeah, they didn't make it clear if you can search Wikipedia or if it's like links, but I would imagine it's searchable just like regular Wikipedia.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to watch to see what kind of buy-in so let's say Cisco wants to cooperate with Amazon, and so through Amazon you could buy like all the Cisco router manuals, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm just guessing that they're not out there. They may be out there, but imagine if Dell put all their tech support stuff on right. Amazon for you to download, or you know, I'm just pulling stuff out of the air. You know, I'm trying to get back to me as a sysadmin. How do I make it more useful for me? Is if other people start to say, wow, these ebook things are taking off. We call Amazon and ask how we can put our stuff on their store.
Well, here's the thing you can do. I mean, yes, you can't plug it in and transfer a file to it. But if you have all your manuals, and if the fee isn't extravagant, if it's $1 for certain sized file, say for a 2 megabyte file, it's $1 to transfer it. Then you could just send a bunch of your PDFs or Word documents, and you don't need to customize it yourself, and you just send it over there, and then they're always on there, ready right. for you to look at.
Right.
And then if you get in a bind on something and you're looking in the manual, you can't find it, and you say you want to go buy the Cisco training guide, it's there for you to just buy right then. You don't have to go to the store and pick it up or whatever.
Yeah. My only other thought about it is, to me it's exciting. To me, it's exciting to be able to just to buy books on the fly,
right?
And be able to see the reviews and have it instantly there. I wonder if I would kind of miss the whole book experience, though. The smell of the book, mm-hmm. the way the book feels, the cover art, you know, that whole, you know, carrying around that book. Because right. I have some leather-bound books, I have some mm-hmm. older books, and a lot of hardcover things, and I like that for what it is, the fact that it's non-tech.
So why? Why do you like that, do you think?
I like it because for the simple fact that it is not technology.
Right.
Because it doesn't mm-hmm. require power, that it doesn't require batteries or anything mm-hmm. to work. As long as I have a candle, I could strain my eyes and read it.
Right.
You know, a book is random access. I can flip back and forth in it. And I know you can do that in this too.
Right.
But it's just...
So the real reason, at least this is what Jeff would have you believe, Jeff Bezos from Amazon. He talks about this in the article. I was kind of leading you on there.
Okay.
His theory is that part of that is the feeling you associate those smells, those feelings, with the excitement of getting lost in a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you when you start reading a book, it's, for me anyway, it's more of like a disconnect from reality than anything else. I mean, I just get lost in a book. My imagination starts firing, and I'm just, you know, there could be World War III going on around me, and I would just keep reading.
Yeah.
And if this is what he claims it to be, which with all the buttons and all the extra features, I'm wondering if it really will be this way, is that it needs to be so transparent of a device that you can do that same thing. And if you do it enough, you'll start to associate that with this device. Versus the smell of glue and the curved edges and the worn outness and the nice classic art and the font that they're all made out of. And
mm-hmm. I can see that. I just I hate to see everything in the world upgraded. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, there are some old things that I like, and I always go back to the broom example. Like, how many years have we been using a broom? You know, a stick with some straw on it, probably since caveman days, and it's still one of the best things to sweep up the junk that you drop in your kitchen.
I don't know. Swiffers are pretty sweet, man.
Swiffers, Roombas. How much money do you have to spend to do the same thing as a 99-cent broom?
Yeah. No, I totally understand what you're saying. I mean, I've tried reading books on my laptop, and I just can't do it. And I've looked at these ebook readers in the store so many times, and it's still just, I wonder, is it really going to do it? And I think it may still be a while before it catches on. Part of the issue before was it was kind of complicated to use. Yeah. I mean, the Sony Reader was pretty simple, mm-hmm. but it still required a computer. It required that knowledge, especially for getting your own devices, own the information on there. Whereas this is very simplified. You know, it's just a kind of a scroll wheel to go up and down to select your item, and very, very simplified in that method of use.
And I think simple is the key. Mm-hmm. If the device stays out of its own way,
right,
and it lets you concentrate on buying and reading, mm-hmm, instead of how do I go back or how do I search,
yeah,
and you know, oh, I just bumped the sleep button, how do I wake it up, and now I got to wait 10 seconds, and all that stuff is just noise in the way, mm-hmm, of you using the device.
And I worry about this because there's a lot of buttons along the edge on both sides,
right,
and I really feel like you would just bump into those all the time. So the other thing I really have noticed on ebook readers in the past, and this screen doesn't look any different, it looks like text, but it looks like recycled paper because it's gray. It's not black on white. It's gray on gray. So you don't have the full contrast of a standard book. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
right,
recycled paper, you can use, well, used to be the case. They've cleaned it up now, but
right,
you, it would be literally a gray paper.
So sometimes that super high contrast, I don't know if it's easier on the eye. I mean, I've done some web stuff where I did like a dark gray on a light gray, and I don't know if it was easier or harder to read.
Well, I would say that's different because that's, you know, it's actually emitting light versus this where it's actually just physical presence, a physical thing.
Right.
And I think you want that contrast more. I mean, if you see a poster on the wall and it's gray on gray, that's harder to read than the thing at the eye doctor where it's black on white.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure they did a lot of usability studies with it.
Oh, sure. And it's the best e-ink display out there right now. The technology just isn't there, mm-hmm, to be able to make it black on white.
So here's another question as we come on the backside of this thing. How long before Barnes & Noble has an answer to this? And why haven't they already partnered with, like, the Sony?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. That's the thing that I don't like about this is I like that it has the store, but I hate that it's so locked down. Because you can only buy stuff from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of authors out there, independent authors, who are putting out stuff on PDF. You'd have to, I mean, you can email it to it, but that really feels like a last-minute add-on feature to, mm-hmm, me. So
it's like, yeah, it's tied to the store the same way that the iPod is tied to iTunes.
But to be fair, the iPod can play any MP3 file.
True. Yeah, you can get them on there easier than you can get stuff onto this,
right,
other reader. So,
but either way, I think they're trying to follow that model.
Yeah. So as a minor aside, then this ties in very tangentially. Did you catch the announcement in the past week about Marvel Comics?
I did not.
Okay, so Marvel Comics opened up their website, mm-hmm, to have like another, I forget how many thousands of comics that they were going to, you know, release digitally now.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So you can pay. Now you'll only be able to read it on their site,
mm,
through like a special reader that's in the browser.
And you have to pay for that?
Yeah.
That feature?
Yes. So you need an account,
uh-huh,
on the Marvel website to be able to read
on
their
the Marvel
comics.
Website.
Yeah. So it's like, is this the death of going to the comic book store, or is it how comics will survive? And why haven't some people thought, oh, they should have done this years ago? But
is it cheaper?
I don't think it really is a lot cheaper.
I just don't see the benefit. I mean, it's that means you can only read it when you have an internet connection,
right? You got to be online.
Silence.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, this is kind of in this realm of, you know, well, when we have content that we want to distribute, mm-hmm, distribute digitally, you know, like that versus buying the comic.
Right.
You know, when you,
okay,
can, we could touch it and you see the ink and the art and it's cool and it's bright and colorful. And
so barring whether or not I think having it on a website is a good or bad idea, I think that's where things have to go. I think that's what people want. They want to be able to. Now, the thing I worry about is, like you were saying, we'll have the Barnes & Noble device. We'll have the Marvel Comics device. We'll have the DC Comics device.
Yeah.
I don't want a device for every brand that I want to read, you know? We need kind of the one device that rules them all.
Right. But even if you had one for each, how much shelf space would that save you over how many books,
exactly,
you have now?
Well, it would save me a lot.
Right.
But that's if it's once it becomes digital, once it becomes a computer, shelf space is a lot easier to manage than, oh, is that thing charged? Oh, it's not charged. Now I have to let it charge for 2 hours before I can read my DC comic or,
mm-hmm,
you know, all the negatives of digital are very apparent when you have multiple devices.
Right.
For me, anyway.
Yeah, I would agree. But I think if I had a bunch of readers, you know, so I'm hoping these readers will get cheaper. So right. that eventually you do have five readers on the shelf, one for each flavor, like one for comics, one for tech, one for fiction, one for news.
But why would you want that versus one reader that works for everything?
Well, I wouldn't. But I think with the nature of the way people close things off, mm-hmm. the way iTunes does, the way Amazon is doing with this, I think if I don't have a choice, I would rather have five things than 500 books.
Well, granted.
But if it was up to me, I would have one, like you're saying.
But to compare it, I would not want an iPod for Universal Music, an iPod for BMG.
Right.
You know, and to me, this is kind of the same thing where if Amazon... Now, Amazon could start offering comic books on this. The problem is it's not color. So here's for me what would be the perfect device. It would be a super small laptop that has a standard display on the inside with the keyboard. You close it, and it stays very thin when closed. And on the outside is an e-ink display, color e-ink, that you can then use just to read books, quick reference materials that are on your laptop. It's tied to the same drive. But then when you want to flip it up and have dynamic content that's fast-moving or video, you flip open and use that display. It's like two specialized displays in one device.
Yeah, I could see that. It'd be nice, and to have the built-in cell.
Right, and have built-in cell. Yeah. That is what's amazing about the Amazon device is the built-in cell. It kind of changes the game for everybody. And I think Amazon is one of the few companies that can do that because they have the back end to support it already with their S3 storage service that they have that can just provide that content. Someone like Barnes & Noble would have trouble with that.
Yeah. But overall, I think it's good. I followed the Sony device for a while, and I've never wanted to pull the trigger on it. I think it's cheaper now than it used to be. It's down around the $299 range or something like that. And this thing is $399. So it's going to go down because they all do. So we'll see after Christmas what happens with it.
So final ruling, would you buy one, yes or no?
Ask me next Christmas.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. You know, I don't think it's ready for everyone yet. If you've got the money, sure, but I would buy several other things over this first.
Yeah, I think it would definitely increase my reading if it was easier to get stuff on demand, stuff that I cared about.
I think $99 is the price point for something like this for me.
Yeah, I would maybe go $200
if I could put my own stuff on it easily.
Yeah.
Without a fee.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Alrighty, folks, that's going to wrap up another episode of Angry Admins, the podcast, part two, The Phantom Menace.
No, that means we have to do part three.
I know, and they're going to get mad. But good luck to everybody traveling this week for the holidays. Good luck if you're stuck in an airport.
Yeah.
Our heart goes out to you if you're listening to us while you're in an airport, stranded somewhere.
Yeah, if this is all you have to do.
I really feel sorry for you. I hope you have a better podcast on your iPod. But if you need anything, if you want old episodes or to leave us a comment, drop by angryadmins.com and you can do that.
Yes.
Until next week, I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby. Stay angry.